Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, a candid conversation as we learn about types of dementias, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, frontal temporal, and Lewy body, and the effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, overcome obstacles, and find positive outcomes. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Hey friends, this is an exciting day for me. I'm really happy because this is starting the third year of my show, Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz. And what I've always wanted to do is be here for all my friends in my caregiver nation, which I lovingly call all of you, because you are the caregivers and the front lines of everything that's going on out there in your homes, in the communities that you work in, and so on and so forth. And the other part of this is my friends with diagnosis, which would be people with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Parkinsonianisms, Lewy body dementia, frontotemporal dementia, and those are the types of dementias that I have been working with for the past 20 years. So for the last couple of years, I have had shows on many, many different subjects, bringing in resources to you from ways to not be scammed, to how to work with your local police department, what kind of care communities to look for, and how you can look for the best care for your loved one, giving you a lot of resources and strategies for working with your loved one at home, good communication skills, and so on and so forth. And I hope that year three is going to be even better. I, again, will have researchers on. Dr. Huntington Potter from the Rocky Mountain Alzheimer's Disease Center will grace us with his presence this year. I work very closely with Benzi Kluger, who works with people with Parkinson's, and I'll be able to provide a lot of great conversations with people that you can utilize to help you through your daily interactions with the people that you work with, the people that you love, the friends you take care of, or whatever it is, okay? So I just wanted to revisit something here a little bit today, and let's talk about dementia itself. You know, it's been a long time since I did a show about explaining about dementia. What is it? Is it Alzheimer's in a worsening or a lesser stage, or where the progression is? No, it's not. So dementia itself is just a definition. It simply means cognitive impairment, meaning your thought process is not working well, and it will affect activities of daily living. And that's all it is. It's just a definition. It isn't even a disease, and there are different types of dementias under the disease flag. And with that, they would be Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Lewy body, which mimics Alzheimer's a lot, frontotemporal, Huntington's disease, ALS, Korsakoff's. There's just a lot of different types. There's actually 160 types of diseases under the dementia flag. There's also reversible dementias that are not diseases. So I want to talk about those for a minute so we understand what dementia is and what it is not. The reversible dementias are, for example, having a vitamin deficiency. Maybe you don't have enough vitamin D. Maybe you don't have enough of the B12 in your system, and that might make you a little foggy, might make you a little off on your game, and you're trying to remember somebody's name or something, and it's just not coming to you. If you boost your vitamins up a little bit, maybe that can help you. That's a reversible dementia. Taking Ambien, the sleep medication, if you take that and you mix it with alcohol, you're really going to mess yourself up. You will have severe cognitive impairment, and it could go away as soon as the Ambien wears off, the alcohol wears off, and maybe even if you lessen the dosage, then the problems that you have with your cognitive issues could go away even faster. So that's another reversible dementia. If you take pain medication or opioids for any reason, if you lessen the amount or you stop taking them, any fogginess, any hallucinations you might have, any slurred speech, issues that come with some pain medications could go away. Again, a reversible dementia. If you have a concussion and you take care of it, you get some rest, you don't work your brain too hard, if you take care of your brain and you let it heal properly, that could improve your cognitive awareness and it will take away any impairment that you have. Again, a reversible dementia. Now let's talk about the diseases under that flag that are not reversible. And none of the diseases under the dementia banner are reversible. So first of all, there's Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is a brain disease. It is caused by a couple of different factors, but one of them is beta amyloid, a protein we all have in our body. And that protein generally is generated from an APOE4 gene that we have in our bodies. And that gene produces too much of that beta amyloid. It actually comes up through your spinal column into your brain stem, and the first place that it affects is your hippocampus. Your hippocampus holds your short-term memories, and it destroys your hippocampus. That's why people in the early stages of Alzheimer's have trouble with their short-term memories. They can remember something from 1942, but they can't remember what you said 4 minutes ago. That's very confusing to a lot of people, but it is part of the progression of the disease. Over time, you will have short-term memory loss, and then it becomes worse. You have more serious impairment. Eventually, it will get to a point where maybe you need help with activities of daily living. You might need help dressing. You might need help using the microwave, getting yourself something cold to drink, using the restroom, bathing. All those things can happen. And as the disease progresses further, you may end up losing your balance. You'll lose your words. Space and time seem to go away. You don't know what year it is. You don't know what month it is. Your speech pattern becomes more word salad, not making sense as you speak. You might call things by the wrong name and so forth. Eventually, you really lose all cognitive awareness and have trouble even feeding yourself, certainly can't dress yourself, and in the later stage, you don't recognize anyone and you will eventually die from it. It's not a laughing matter. It's a very serious disease and millions of families are living with it. So next time you make a joke about old-timers, remember there's somebody out there that is living with this and it's not funny when it happens to someone you love. Okay, so that's Alzheimer's. Now, Parkinson's is a different type of dementia, and it may or may not come with memory loss. So one of the things I want you to understand about dementia as a whole is that dementia does not mean memory loss. There are several dementias under the disease banner of it that don't come with memory loss. Frontotemporal is one of them. Parkinson's can be another. So Parkinson's disease is actually caused by a lack of dopamine in the brain. Dopamine is generated from the center of your brain in a place called the basal ganglia. And that basal ganglia needs to produce massive amounts of that dopamine so that you are fluid in your speech, in your stride, in the gait when you walk, moving your arms up and down, moving your head left and right and turning, speaking, speech patterns, so on and so forth. People under the age of 65 who have a lack of dopamine in their brain will have something we call rest tremors. And what that means is when they're standing and they're quiet or they're sitting and they're quiet, they will have shaking in their extremities. It could be in their arms. It could be in their legs. It might be in their chin. It won't be your whole head, but definitely your chin. And those folks have trouble controlling those tremors. There is something that you can do for that. There are dopamine replacement drugs called levodopa, and its generic is cinnamon. But there is an issue with those dopamine replacements. They kind of can cause some of the problems that they're trying to cure. So if you take those medications for too long to replace the dopamine that isn't being generated in your brain naturally, over time, it can make you have those shakes worse than what the disease does. So many people have to think about, wow, if I get this at an early age, at say 20 years old or 30, do I want to be able to control my tremors right now, sort of like Michael J. Fox did, or do I want it later in my life? Because you can't take those drugs, levodopa and cinnamon, for 10 years. If you take them for 10 years, your shakes are going to be worse than they were previously. So people really need to think about those types of things. And there are a lot of ways that we can work with our friends with Parkinson's, but we'll tackle that on another show. So another type of dementia that does not come with memory loss is frontotemporal. I have a brother with frontal temporal. I've talked about it on many shows. Many of you are aware of this, but if it's your first time listening, I want to explain it to you a little bit. So frontal temporal is caused from a gene mutation. It's called the C9ORF, O-R-F, and it has some devastating effects because the people who get it are generally between the ages of 44 and 64. You can get it younger or you can get it older, but generally that's the time that they get it. And families report that their loved ones seem different. They're not themselves. It's not the person I married. I hear that a lot with my clients. They have behavioral problems. So, for example, the BV, behavioral type of frontal temporal, these folks are sexually hyperactive. They can't control their need for sex, so they're often looking at pornography on the internet and things like that. They spend a lot of money. They can't control their impulses. They may even know something they're doing is wrong, but they can't control the impulse to do it. They have no filter on their mouth, so they'll just tell you if they don't like something, and oftentimes they can become aggressive verbally towards family members. And the biggest part of the BV is that they have a lot of apathy. They don't care if what they say hurts your feelings. And families just say, gosh, I don't even know what happened. All of a sudden, my husband just became this raving lunatic that wants sex all the time but yells and screams at me all the rest of the time. I don't even know who this guy is anymore. So these different diseases can be really, really tough. There's two other types of the frontal temporal. One is where people lose their language. It's called primary progressive aphasia. And the other one is motor. We're going to be back after a little word about my company so you understand what I do in my daily life. And I'll explain to you a little bit more about frontal temporal and even Lewy body. Again, I'm so happy to be starting my third year. I love all of you worldwide and nationwide who listen week in and week out. And I hope you enjoy this new format. I'm going to start having 15-minute sessions with just one commercial in between. And with that, we'll go to my commercial and you'll hear a word about me.
Living and working with Alzheimer's and other dementias can often be challenging. Summit Resilience Training provides education utilizing non-medical approaches for those who work with our friends affected by dementia. Believing families still need one-on-one assistance, we provide classes which help them understand the diseases affecting their loved ones, offering strategies and techniques for success with activities of daily living and working with confusing behaviors. We offer in-home assessments to clarify symptoms of dementia diseases and help families work together to find moments of joy while living with memory loss and impairment. education programs instilling person-centered care philosophies are offered for professional caregivers working in communities and homes, which can be customized for their staff. Training is also available for first responders, such as law enforcement, fire, and EMT personnel. We are passionate that people with dementias, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and others, are approached with compassion and understanding, and those who work with them have all the tools they need for success. Call us at Summit Resilience Training, 303-420-6988, to schedule a class or in-home assessment. Visit our website at summitresiliencetraining.com for more information.
Welcome back to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, a candid conversation as we learn about types of dementias, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, frontal temporal, and Lewy body, and their effects on the people we love.
Okay, we're back. And I was explaining that dementia itself is just a definition. It simply means cognitive impairment serious enough to affect your activities of daily living. That's it, folks. It's not a worsening of Alzheimer's. It's not better than Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is a type of dementia. And the big key, dementia does not mean memory loss. It does not mean memory loss. People get so hung up on the A word for Alzheimer's that they think if they just say, oh, my loved one has dementia, that makes it better. When we go to the doctor and they tell us we have cancer, the first thing we ask is, what kind? What cure do I have, or what can I do for my prognosis? And nobody ever asks that about dementia. If your doctor just says to you, well, you've got a type of dementia, here's three little drugs you can take. We'll see which one works best with your system. And those are Aricept, Namenda, and Exelon, which is a cousin of Aricept. It's just a patch. But the truth of the matter is, folks, those drugs don't work. They have an efficacy of 30 days, maximum 6 months. And that's if you're lucky, and they were never designed to slow the progression of Alzheimer's or Lewy body. Neither one of those. All they do is open the blood flow to the brain. That's it. So, folks, if your loved one's taking any one of those drugs, Aricept, Namenda, or Exelon, for longer than a year, those drugs can actually make them worse. You need to know that, because those drugs at 10 milligrams twice a day is somewhere around $2,000 after insurance. And when you go back to the doctor after 30 days and say, well, this isn't making my loved one any better, they just up the dosage. And when they do that, that takes it to about $4,000 a month for medication that will actually make your loved one worse with their cognitive impairment and their memory loss, and that's no good. And then by the time you get down the road, 8-10 years, and you need a memory unit for your loved one, you've spent all your money on these drugs. And that's not just my opinion. There was a study out of Stanford that tested the efficacy of those drugs. And it's why Eli Lilly pulled out in early January 2018 and said, we're not going to make those drugs anymore. And people got really upset. Well, I was glad to hear it, because all it does is cost people about $36,000 a year for drugs that are ineffective. So anyway, let's get back to our conversation. Frontotemporal. Oh, it's a horrible disease. I think it's worse sometimes than Alzheimer's is, because people with Alzheimer's eventually lose their memory, and that's rough. But people with frontotemporal lose their social graces, and they can become very difficult to live with. They are not concerned with your feelings. They'll spend their money, and they'll be happy to spend yours too. And I'm sorry to pick on our frontotemporal people, but this is the nature of the disease. And oftentimes, we will see these folks getting in trouble in their 50s. And I was just at a conference in 2018 where Hal Wurtzel, a specialist in the legal field for people with frontotemporal, said that it's always amazing to him how many people go to prison for crazy crimes when they have the behavioral of frontal temporal, when they never did a thing wrong in their whole life, never even had a parking ticket, and all of a sudden they kill somebody. It's just the craziest thing I've ever heard. But someday I'm going to have Hal on the show so he can explain all that. I know all of you would love to hear him. So anyway, the second type is the primary progressive aphasia. And those folks will say the same thing over and over. They lose their words. So if they had something that they said repetitively in their life, they will say it often when they have the primary progressive aphasia. For example, I had a client who was an Episcopal preacher, and she would say, "God bless you, I love you. God bless you, I love you," over and over and over again. I had another client who just spoke in numbers, 5, 4, 6 up, 7, 8, 9 down, 1, 2, 3, boom, 4, 5, boom. And she would talk just like that. It's very difficult for caregivers, even professional caregivers, to work with somebody like that because you're unable to communicate with them on any good level. It's just a difficult, difficult communication disease. The last part of frontal temporal is the motor skills. It looks a lot like ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, except that the people with this type of disease, they lose their ability to speak and they become bedridden, but it's not they're unable to speak generally and they can't communicate at all, where people with ALS are able to even look at screens and move a screen or write words with just their eyes or with their breathing. People with frontal temporal with the motor type are unable to complete those kinds of tasks. So it is a disease that does not come with memory loss at all. It is completely a cognitive impairment type of dementia. So there's also Korsakoff's, which we get from too much alcohol. Korsakoff's is not fun because people, when they drink too much, they get what we call a muddy brain. They lose their speech. It becomes very slurred. They're cognitive processes become painfully slow. And it used to be called Wernicke's, but somewhere along the line it changed. I'm not sure where. But that's a really tough one because that's one people kind of do to themselves, unlike the other dementias that are caused by a gene mutation or a protein in their brain. The alcohol intake is what causes Korsakoff's. All right, so another one that you all know is vascular dementia. Vascular dementia is caused by blood pressure, and we know it as a stroke. So we're very aware when somebody has a stroke, we know that it can cause slowness in one side or the other of their body. If they have a stroke on the right side, their left side will suffer, and vice versa. Strokes are not caused by proteins or gene mutations, but it is a type of dementia, and it may not come with memory loss. So I'll give you an analogy of vascular dementia, as we call strokes. I consider it like an earthquake in the brain. We can all understand this. So if you have an earthquake in the brain, it's only going to affect where the fault line is. Okay, we understand earthquakes. We understand that the fault line is the center, the epicenter of where the earthquake happened. So wherever it happens in your brain, whatever lobe, whatever central region, is where you will have the cognitive impairment. But it won't spread to other parts of your brain unless you have mini strokes off of that major stroke. So sort of like your after effect tremors that happen when you have an earthquake. So I hope that kind of gives you a better vision of that. And that's caused by the way your lungs are pumping and allowing your heart to beat, and both in coordination push oxygen and blood and everything that goes with that through your neurofibrillary fibers, which we know as nerves, all through your body and help you to move and to speak and to dance and to laugh and love and everything else. And when those aren't working right, when your lungs aren't working well and they're causing your strain on your heart, the pressure that is pushing the blood around will either be too high or too low. Either one of those can cause a stroke. There are medications you can take for that can make it a little bit better. But that person may never have memory loss, but it is a cognitive issue in their brain. So again, I'm just going to say it one more time. Dementia does not mean memory loss. It just means cognitive impairment, serious enough to affect your activities of daily living. This is important, people, because as time goes on and we have places like where I live at the Rocky Mountain Alzheimer's Disease Center and the Movements Disorders Clinic, and this happens all over the world, they have different departments that can work with these different diseases now as we're working on better research, and we have younger and better research, younger people and better research labs, we're getting more and more astute at recognizing these diseases when they're occurring. And we can look at something like Parkinson's, for example, and say, okay, let's look at the way this person sleeps. Are they fighting out in their sleep? Are they acting out their dreams? Has their writing become very small? We call micrographia. That's something that happens with Parkinson's disease. And the different symptoms that come with that disease help these doctors diagnose it better in the earlier stages. We now know that Lewy body disease, which looks a lot like Alzheimer's, is caused and is a cousin of Parkinson's disease. Years ago, we didn't know this. And some of the things that we recognize now about Lewy body is they are some of the people that have hallucinations and they have trouble sleeping like our Parkinson's people do. People with Alzheimer's don't have hallucinations. And over the years, we thought everybody that just was sort of mean and we couldn't control their behaviors and so on and so forth were just people with Alzheimer's behaving badly, when the truth of the matter is it's a whole different disease. It's Lewy body. People with Alzheimer's are basically very easygoing. They sleep well at night. They don't lose their hearing. They're generally easy to redirect and have very few behaviors. They feed off of you. So if you're anxious, they'll be anxious. If you're calm, they'll be calm. I've seen it over and over with the thousands of people I've worked with over the years. So I hope this show really helped you to understand that there are different types of dementias. We need to be educated. It's my goal in life to have everybody educated. I want to thank all the people that are listening to me all around the world in the 20 countries, especially you folks in Australia, because you are jumping on my bandwagon in a big way. And the United Kingdom, China, Sweden, all of you are listening, and I absolutely love it. You can email me at jill@summitresiliencetraining.com if you have questions. I would love to hear from you. Tell me about the different things you want to hear about on my show throughout this third year. And visit my website. I have a lot of resources for you on summitresiliencetraining.com. It's free. I load my podcasts on there. So if you have one that you like and you want to listen to it again, you can certainly do that. And if you like my shows, please, please, please give me a 5-star rating. I hope you keep listening. And again, contact me if you want me to talk about a certain subject or something that's near and dear to you, or there's somebody you want me to interview. I'd be happy to do that. All right, folks, I will see you next week on Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorentz with some new resource for you, I promise you. And I love you out there in Caregiver Nation. I love my friends with diagnosis, and I can't wait for a fantastic 2019. Take care, everybody, and I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorentz. To learn more about her resources, services, classes, or to book speaking engagements, Visit Jill's website at summitresiliencetraining.com. A new podcast drops every Tuesday, so join us as we learn more about dementias, resilience, and overcoming obstacles to find a positive outcome. Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz can be found on your favorite podcast provider. Please subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. Musical and technical support provided by Brian Hunter. See you next week.